Become a podcast buddy now and get exclusive access to the new podcast episodes. You can find more information about this on my website schulzekopp.de.
Welcome to this podcast.
Water Polo Expert Talk. Get the insights. Yeah, so welcome to the podcast. We record today the next session, the next episode with a referee. So welcome, Boris, to the podcast. Very happy to have you here and that you have the time to join us today.
Thank you very much for invitation. It will be my pleasure to share my experience and the refereeing side of water polo in your podcast. So
yeah, it's my pleasure. So I mentioned this especially in this case when we have referees in the podcast, because then in this case we have each time a different perspective on the sport. Yeah, so you're involved in the games, but somehow different involved in these games, and this is something very interesting for most of the people because everybody or each player has some experiences with the guy on the side. Yeah, so
I hope they are good ones.
So most of the cases, I guess, good ones, but I would say you would agree on that it's not maybe in each case possible that it's only be good experiences.
Of course.
So before we start regarding these reference stuff and your job as a referee in the water polo scene, maybe you can give us some more about information about yourself, about your person, where you're located. Did you already played water polo by yourself? So maybe some personal introduction from yourself, maybe.
Sure. So my name is Boris Margheta. Like you mentioned, I come from Kranj. Kranj is, let's say, capital of the north part of Slovenia. Mainly here we are skiers and ski jumpers. these are the popular sports near the Alps. I'm married. I have two great daughters. One is swimmer, Slovenian champion under 10 years. The other, Sara, the older one, is boxer. So we can say we are sport family. Married with my wife, my biggest supporter, because without support of my wife, referee career is probably almost impossible.
That's correct.
Yes, I was practicing water polo. First, I was swimmer, because in Slovenia we have very good program for education of swimming. I think the new government FINA of World Swimming Federation was here. And we represent the programs last month, and they will try to fulfill it all over the world, which means every child in kindergarten had to learn how to swim. And in our kindergarten, there was a swimming pool, indoor, small swimming pool. And already there, after swimming courses, the swimming coach came. This was in the past. I'm 49 years old. Now is more democracy. Now is not allowed. And just give me the paper. Okay, from tomorrow, you're practicing in the club starts. So I was a swimmer, let's say 5, 6, 7 years. But I was so boring with swimming. And after our practice, there were water polo team practicing every time. And I was in love with that yellow ball. And early I start to play. And in Slovenia, we have problem that we don't have a lot of professional players. So mainly players are stopping their careers when they go to the college, to high school, to university. And when I start with my mechanical engineering university, I stopped playing polo and became a coach. So I was 10 years a coach. And during this coaching, already I start to referee, to whistle.
Yeah, so in this case, it seems to be the case that you're really covering all the different elements of water polo. So as a parent, as a father, as a coach, as a trainer, as a player. So now as a referee. Yeah, so each aspect is covered in this case.
Especially for me, it's interesting because when I was coaching 10 years, under 13, 17 and 15, in Ljubljana, we created a club in capital city, and the view of water polo or decisions that my colleague referees at that time made is different view. Is different view, but it was very helpful for me as a referee to understand maybe also their point of view on water polo, and special enjoyment is when we unite together and give the best performance for the players, because they are important, not coaches, referees.
So which brings me to another interesting question maybe. So you mentioned that you really covered most of the other areas in water polo and now acting as a referee. Do you think there's a difference when a referee is also have an active water polo career in the past, instead of, okay, he's not really playing water polo for himself and is starting as a referee without playing water polo? Do you think there's a difference? Are there any advantages from your point of view when you know what's going on also under the water maybe sometimes?
It's a very good question, and I was thinking a lot during my career about these questions, because I met some of my colleagues who never played water polo, and sometimes it's difficult to explain something what is going on under the water. Water polo, is very specific sport, because the referee and public and viewers, they see 15% of the body and that's it. So by my opinion, it's very helpful that you played water polo to become a successful referee, but is not necessary. Is not the top priority. I know a few of my colleagues, excellent referees, who never played water polo, but they enjoy it, and they learned, they fulfill their skills by communication with other colleagues. But it's helpful. Absolutely, it's helpful.
So when there are situations during a game where the situation is not clear, or you're not able to say, okay, I have a clear view, or I have a clear understanding of what's going on in the water, and I have the situation that I have a clear situation, and I say, okay, this is a penalty or not, or an exclusion or not, there are so less time, or so different, or so small time frames where you can say, okay, I made the decision. So how do you handle this during these kind of games? So is it difficult to say, okay, I have so less time? So
So this is also one of specialties in water polo, because as we know, in basketball, volleyball, I don't know, football, the referee make a whistle and the game stopped, everybody stopped. Mm-hmm. So referee have few seconds or even more to think again, to review the situation and make a decision. We don't have this possibility. So for us is, or for me personally, the practicing, the drill, let's say the drill is very important. My top priority as a referee is that I want that these situations, which I'm not sure exactly what happened, would disappear from my book, from my game. This can happen only through practicing, only through drill, because in practicing games, these situations will happen. And in that case, if I met situation before, by my knowledge and by my practicing, but like in army, by drill, my brain will decide, will give the proper solution. Of course, there are still some situations, but also we have helpful rules. If I'm not sure, is it a penalty or is it exclusion? The rules say we decide for exclusion if it's inside, if not inside. And then I have a colleague also. We are two, which we can help, especially now when we have this headset system, we can ask for help. But nevertheless, we really want to make the game to be clear by our decision as much as possible. Another thing is also by the movement, even if it's under the water, by intention to find out what is the intention of the attacker with this move. Is it to score a goal, to be active, to play fair? In this case, the rules and referees will protect him. Mm-hmm. If the intention is simulation, doesn't matter, under the water, up to the water, then it's opposite. In the same for defender, I'm not the one who punish the players. I want that the referee would be someone who reward a good player, who reward an action, who reward with a penalty, with an up situation. So if we watch from this perspective to find out intention of the player, this can be find out easily. Doesn't matter under the water or up to the water.
Yeah, so in this case, it sounds very interesting because you're saying that also the practice games during some local teams maybe or whatever, it's only not only the chance to train or to practice by the teams, so also for you as a referee saying, okay, I need the practicing also, yeah, during the top games, maybe in the Champions League, World Championship or whatever. So you need also the practice.
Yes. For me, it's the same. A referee should be sportsman, absolutely, 100%. Mm-hmm. The same like player, the same like coach. Only that can be successful referee. Without practicing, it's impossible to whistle in the top competitions. Let's say every week, my youngest daughter had practice from 5 to 7, swimming course. On the other half of the field, water polo team Triglav is playing under 13, under 15. Every Thursday I go there. Sometimes we play on one goal. I sit on the stone and I whistle on one goal. And I met, you could not believe how much strange situations. And this is part of practicing. Because I don't like that top referees things. They don't have to whistle in local environment under 13, under 15, under 17. No. For these kids is the most important that they have the best refereeing. Because that's how they will learn and proceed with the careers.
Yeah. So this goes also in my experience as a coach and also as a referee, or not as a referee, but as a player, that especially during these games in the lower age, so under 40, 50, 60, 70, and so on, that you need, as you mentioned before, really the best referees in these games, because the kids are learning then their behavior, correct, their movements, their decisions based on the based on the referee then and the situations, and this is really some kind of strange sometimes when you have not so good referees in this age or stages of age, and then telling the kids, okay, your movement was right, but the decision from the referee was maybe somehow not correct or not the best. Yeah, so your movement was correct, but the whistle was wrong.
yeah, correct. From my I travel a lot over the world, and I was also in younger tournaments. The biggest problem we have, not only in Slovenia, I watched some games also in Germany. Let's start with the basic of water polo, ordinary foul. What is ordinary foul? These kids don't know what is an ordinary foul. They put the head under the water and finished, and the referee gives a foul. So when they come to European Championship, they are losing the balls on the second line and receiving goals from the counter-attack, and everybody, coach is nervous, everybody is nervous. Why? Because ordinary foul is not head under the water. Mm-hmm. When I was a player in ex-Yugoslavia, the coach punched me if I put the head under the water. Always he yelled, work with your legs, referee must see that somebody is on you. So only with let's say with these basics we can make a fantastic practice for referees to start with the basics.
So start with the basics. We talked about before that also a referee needs some kind of practice during the year. What is your description for the last 1.5 year, 2 years during this coronavirus thing? So there was also not really each time possible to have practice, even for the teams or for the clubs. Do you think, or what kind of impact does this time gap about the last two and a half years have right now, maybe also on the performance of a referee?
I think huge impact. Thank God, not on exactly on performance like you put it. Maybe I will explain in few sentences. Without games, without practicing, is impossible to be good, like we said before. But nevertheless, I think a big role in this epidemic time, VVR made, our association, World Water Polo Referee Association, with hundreds of videos, with hundreds of quizzes, with really connection. And as a president, I was really proud how many referees participate from Peru, from Uruguay, from Brasilia, from India, where situation was even worse than in Europe. We have a doctor who was exactly participating in Bergamo at the beginning, who is water polo referee. So we really connected as a community, and because part of learning, if it's not possible to go to the pool and practice, is watching videos, watching games, watching clips, reading the rule book, asking yourself questions of situations. So I think we did really, really good job, and I'm very proud again, because the last 2 years of, let's say, Champions League came without the smallest problem concerning refereeing. The games were very difficult. A lot of teams with equal points, every game decided, and I think we perform really well.
Yeah. So, and based on the fact that also the teams missing the practice during these breaks, we have such a tight games at the end with one goal difference maybe at the end, or penalty shootout or whatever. Yeah. So that you as a referee maybe has to compare these to fill out this gap in the performance of the teams somehow. Yeah, so this is strange and different situation at the end, which is new also for a referee. Yeah, so
correct. Yeah, because in many countries, at least some kind of practicing of the players at the middle of pandemia was allowed. So the games, not the games, but the pools were partly open. Mm-hmm. But for referee, completely nothing. So referee didn't have any chance to practice a year and a half, nowhere. And that's, I think it's very important for us also to watch each other, to watch our games, to learn from mistakes, which we saw in the game. For example, myself, still I'm going through some games, watching my colleagues, because I strongly believe that I can learn from everybody something, everybody, or on opposite, I can learn what I cannot do. Sometimes I see also this, and
this is not working right now. to be more aggressive on the side maybe of the pool. Yeah, it's not the best way to handle
no,
these games.
No.
I have another question. Maybe during the qualification for the Olympic Games in Rotterdam, I saw during this tournament the first time the video assistant referee, also for you as a referee, the option to say, okay, I stop and I watch this again for some couple of seconds again on the other side of the table. Do you think this is a really good thing? So because I have the impression that was really used often, but at the end it was a really good, or the decision was correct at the end. So, and it's not really a big interruption of the game.
So I am a referee who was asking for VAR for years and years and years. I think really we are delaying with modernization, with also with the rules, and then now with the FINA worked very hard on this, and I would like to thank them as well, educate referees, point out situations which will be checked on VAR. Of course, Every time is first time, and every time is not used in the correct manner. I think the biggest problem or concern of VAR should be to use it only, but really only for very, very important things which can happen in the water. Because to stop game too many times because of VAR or because of some not important situations can destroy the advantage of team, can the players get nervous, the coaches get nervous, maybe one team changed the defense, the other didn't adopt yet, but then in 1 minute, you know, that the game can change completely. But I think finally, also in Rotterdam, we find the right way, we find the correct way that is not used too much. There will be even one more situation in the future, as I saw, maybe you don't know yet, but the proposal is that also for brutality, the referee can check VAR, which was not before, only after the game. And this is also very good. So this technician is absolutely necessary for progress of the sport. I would like also that it would be presented on TV and on broadcast with the big screen, like, I don't know, in tennis court, you know, out, no out, why the ball is inside, the ball is not inside, so stuff like that. Yeah. So still we have few details to finalize, but I think it's very useful. Very, very useful.
Yeah. Yes. I think this goes then in the direction of transparency. Yeah. So that the decision maybe is also transparent to the audience. Correct. In the pool or in the area, so on. You mentioned that the video assistant referee you can only use for specific situations. Yeah. So which is really important situations or major impact situations, which have maybe an impact on the result at the end. So maybe you can give us some more information about these kind of situations. Yeah. So when we have only one or two situations where you are able to say, okay, I would like to use the VAR, then which situations do we have at the moment? So plus the third one or the fourth one, then in the future you mentioned regarding the brutality.
So first, it's two-way communication. So or the referee, active referee, can ask for help from VAR, from a referee on VAR, or opposite, if referee on VAR sees some that the goal was scored, which was not whistled, he can say also to the referee, check VAR. But final decision is always only from the referees. Only from the referees. Referee, if he cannot decide, because you must understand that sometimes is even on VAR difficult to decide. Maybe you would not believe it, but it's water and it's splashing and the ball and the whole ball must be completely inside. So it's not so, sometimes it's not so easy, but with the better VAR system, which we are using now, which FINA bought it, is much, much easier than it was at the past. The situations are so the goal or no goal situation, especially difficult for referees. If you imagine situation when the goalkeeper defend the ball, but goes inside the post. These situations never before, because it's impossible to see it with eyes. It happened in half second. So you can man up, shoot, the goalkeeper jumps into the goal, the ball put out. Okay, we continue, and then VAR referee say check VAR, and this ball is deeply inside the goal, really deeply inside the goal. I saw this few times, this kind of defending from the goalkeeper. Then we have for technical mistakes, the technical mistakes from the jury table. If the goal is scored and the player was not, the excluded player was not let into the game before the goal, and it should be by the rules. So also for technical mistake, the delegates say, please check VAR, check the time. Oh, the player should go in, nobody let him in. No goal, we put the player in and we continue with the game. And the third situation is if the goal is scored at the last seconds of attack or at the end of the period or end of the game.
Yeah, and the next one maybe in the future then goes into the direction of brutality. Yeah, where we can say, okay, I need to check this again. Maybe the elbow was in the face or even not in the face.
Okay.
So you mentioned the headset you using with your colleague on the other side of the pool, and we mentioned the transparency with the decisions in the VR maybe. Do you think maybe also in other sports it's sometimes possible to hear what the referees are saying or communicate between each other? Do you think this would also be an option to say, okay, we open these kind of communication somehow, or to include this also in the audience or in the stream or whatever?
I think it is good or at least acceptable idea not to hear the communication between the referees, but to hear final decision and the reason why referee, like in American football, you don't hear communication between the judges, but you hear the final decision. A little bit problematic in water polo is because we are a little bit short with time usually. You know, everything is in hurry. Player must be changed fast. The cup must be replaced fast. The immediately after timeout, the player must go. So I think it's all measured by TV broadcasts and the marketing. So I think if time would allow us, it's no problem that the referee should in the future. But it's a good idea. I will proceed with the idea to authorities
absolutely. Yeah. So maybe we have then some kind of rules in this direction. When we have really these career also as a referee, so as a player you have also role models or idols or people you're looking up as a player, is there also something going in the same direction with the referee saying, okay, this is a referee I would like to and not to cover, but also to say, okay, this is a personality I would like to include in my only personal development as a referee based on his personality, on his decisions, on his way to handle strange or critical situations. Are there any kind of role models for you as a referee?
Yes. Like I said before, I think referees are sportsmen like players and coaches in the same boat. And also us, of course, we have role models. I remember my first time of big competition was Sydney. I had 27 years, first time in Olympics. I didn't even know what is FINA, what is... I saw coaches or players, which I had posters in my room. So it was a big shock for me. And there was one guy, an Italian referee, Renato Dani was his name. And I really enjoyed his performance. But not only that, the most which I enjoyed was so honest, so clear communication. He invited me for the table, sit here, don't worry. He encouraged me every day and every day. Because you must know that at that time, I hope now is not anymore, the top referees were special guys. You could not just approach to them and speak with them. It was a big gap between them and everybody else. So these guys, by fairness, really, him and then... I watched as a child the games of John Whitehouse, which for me was excellent referee, was former TWPC secretary when I was a child. Interesting is that even when I was 10, 11 years old, I want to become a referee. So I remember Klaric. Okay. I know all these old guys because when I saw this guy in white trousers and the flag, so my father bought me I have my first flag when I was 11 years. And then I was sad because it was from wood, but I saw the referees, the top referees have the which you could put apart and couldn't buy it. Yeah. Yeah, it's one interesting story. At the latest time when I began with my career, of course, Erhan Tulga, one of the toppest, Sergi Borel, and the I guess I was lucky to make really, really good role models for my career, because till now we are friends. We became personal friends, family friends, with Sergi, with Erhan, with Caputi, with all these Mario Bergulian, Luko Vuletic, all these former referees. We know everything about each other, the names of sons, daughters. And this is very important, because when you whistle with somebody, this chemistry must be very, very high. It's very important for the game, for the performance, that you trust your colleague.
Yeah. And during these kind of games, you're also a team. Yeah. So you're a team of two persons. And if you said before, also like you said before, then you the chemistry has to be there and has to be fit in into each other somehow. Yeah. So that you're also able to build a team during these games then instead of the teams in the pool. Yeah.
Correct. It's one of the most important things which always as a lecturer I'm pointing out. First thing, not know team, know your colleague, invite him for coffee, look his behavior, go for a walk, go to gym together, go to sauna together. Because when you will be there, you are alone. You two and delegate. Nobody else will help you. And generally everybody will be against you more than less. Okay, I'm joking a little bit, but really you must rely on your colleague. It's so important because if I know he will cover good second line, I can concentrate on the first line and opposite. If I don't see the corner, I know my friend will help me. My friend, not just my colleague. I want to whistle with friend. Otherwise, the game will not be so good.
but I think this is really then the difference. Yeah, so that you really see the other one on the other side of the pool as a friend and would like to whistle with a friend, and not really to see it as a job and do it this kind of job with somebody else during the same time. But you are working together with a friend. Do what you love. Yeah, at the end.
Absolutely.
So this is the thing. I think, really, as you mentioned, the main difference, maybe also in the performance, then at the end, that you are working with a friend during these 32 minutes, then in the pool. Yeah. So it's really different at the end, or could make a difference at the end.
No. Yeah. And do. Must make a difference.
Because in that case, yes.
You must know that we are two, but we must make one decision for one situation. It's impossible that for same situation on my side is like this and on the other side is like this. And this is the disaster which can happen easily, especially on biggest competitions where the referees are from far away, or they don't know each other so well. They are speaking about criterion. There is no criterion. There is a rule book, and you two. And you two must become one. So do it the night before when you see the nomination. Yeah.